So I know it's a little obsessive to ruminate on any thought for too long. I don't want to do that. But I was thinking about this whole living in a wall thing. And so, yes, it's true. When I was in graduate school at Central, circa 1995, I believe, it was the springtime, I was an ROTC cadet, and we were getting ready for advance camp. And if you've been in the Army and you were an officer and you're ROTC, then you know what I'm talking about. If you're fucking West Point, you don't have a fucking clue. Well, you probably still know about it. But, anyways, so we're going to advance camp soon. And I was trying to save money. And you know what? The off-campus bookstore had space that they'd allocated between essentially two outer walls. It was about 3 feet wide, and I'm not exaggerating. It's about a meter wide, about I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 feet long. And the bed was kind of lengthwise, obviously, because I'm not 3 feet tall. Yeah, it was kind of like living on a submarine, except for not as cool or exotic or interesting, except for the fact that it was very cramped, and all of the things they used to make the shower and make the sink and make everything in it look like they got off the set from Soylent Green from Charlton Heston's apartment. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Crap you'd find at a fucking dump is what they used to make this fucking apartment that I have to say. I'm not a big fan of like zoning regulations and whatnot, but it's the kind of place it's hard to imagine being legal, or safe. But whatever, I don't give a fuck. I don't think there's a rule of law any longer, so fuck it. But I have to ask that question because I can also tell you that when I took some time off from the University of Washington when I was a junior. At the UW, I had a pretty tough year. I had my first severe depression. And so I took time off and I went to a community college in Skagit Valley. Skagit Valley Community College. I was actually in a Shakespeare play at the time. Crazy. It actually was this sort of one-off event in my life in a lot of ways, because I did a little bit of community Shakespeare later on, but I never really did much more. But it was a great moment because it helped me sort of break through some issues or break out of my shell or whatever. But anywho, I moved in with some dudes for a short time because I was kind of like not in a good relationship with my parents. And I actually lived under some stairs. And it's like, I think I lived there for a couple weeks. I think I could deal with living under the stairs for a couple weeks. And that would have been like 1992. And the thing is, I think I dealt with the living under the stairs for a couple weeks, and I think I was kind of okay with that. It sort of worked, whatever. But it wasn't really as sustainable as living in that wall. Living in the wall, I could do that for a couple of months. And I gotta be honest with you, the living in the wall thing, I don't recall there being any big cockroach or rat problem. So it was mostly just an issue of temperature. And because it was spring quarter, that time of year, Ellensburg, Washington. By the time you get to like April, it sort of feels kind of normal. So you're sort of living like a human being. You don't feel like a total scumbag. I don't know. But going further back in time, there is the Night Ranger incident. And let's just be honest about Night Ranger and just get Night Ranger out of the way. I don't really know a lot about Night Ranger. No, I don't think I ever bought it. Well, no, that's not true. I bought a Night Ranger CD once just because I wanted to get that song, Sister Christian off of there, because if I could just rip it off of there, I could rip it out of my mind or something. But yeah, the Sister Christian, Sister Christian, though the time has come, you've been drinking all the rum we got. Smoke pot. I don't know. That's Sister Christian. And so Night Ranger, yeah. So my senior year in high school, I think it was like fall quarter. I had some guys I hung out with. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're doing. I won't say anything about them, but they were pretty cool dudes. They were fun people. I hope they're doing well. I don't know what they're doing. I will tell you, one of them had a Pontiac GTO that was awesome, and we used to ride around in that thing, and it was just cool. But another friend of mine had like this, I think it was like a Toyota Camry or something, and it just didn't have a lot of space. And so they got tickets to go to Night Ranger that was playing at Western Washington University. And so, by the fall of 1987, by the autumn of 1987, I would say that Night Ranger was on its descendancy, or it was past its zenith and heading down to, the other side. It's minimum. It's, Anyways. So we go to see Night Ranger, but there's not enough space in the Camry because I was the last person to say I wanted to go. And I gotta say, when you're 17 years old, you make strange decisions about things. Like you're not necessarily mature enough to be respected. Like I had, I was the quote unquote student body president at that time. And when you think about it, that doesn't mean shit, especially when you're an adult. What the fuck? I don't give a fuck. But when you think back, it's like people looked at you and thought, "Oh, this guy seems responsible." But I wasn't really very responsible. I just was good at pretending to be responsible. So anyways, there's not enough space in the Toyota Camry. And so, or I think, or whatever the small, actually, I think it was Tim's car. So it wasn't a Camry. I think it was like a fucking, holy fuck. He drove this other kind of Japanese or Korean mini car. And so there just wasn't enough space. So I had to ride in the trunk. And here's the deal. I rode basically the 30 miles or so from Mount Vernon, Washington to Bellingham in the trunk of that car to go see Night Ranger. And you have to break that one down and just sort of say, let's just put that one on the table, okay? Night Ranger sucks. So to ride in the trunk of your car, of someone's car, to go see that band, it was more about the friendship thing than the seeing Night Ranger. But why was I the guy who had to always ride in the trunk? Why was I the guy who had to live in the fucking stair, under the fucking stairs, or in the fucking walls? And perhaps I've had an insight. I don't know. It doesn't quite make temporal sense, especially in reference to the Night Ranger story. But I don't know. There's this kind of insight I think I've had. Not really. I don't think this is an insight, but I'll tell this sort of related story. So when I was in high school, and I don't even like admitting this because it's so putrid and disgusting, but when I was in high school, I participated in this kind of, fascist ego scheme called Boys State. You go to Boys State, you get selected. I don't know. Maybe it was the Rotary. Maybe it was some fucking secret committee of the fucking Masons. I don't know who the fuck picks you, but you get chosen to go to Boys State. And then you go there as this 17-year-old kid who doesn't know shit. And you all just pretend to know shit. And I gotta say, I was really good at pretending to like know what the fuck I was doing. Like people would look at me and say, "Well, you seem like you know what you're doing, and you certainly seem like you know what you're talking about." I said, "Yeah, I know what I'm talking about, and we need to get all riled up about this and this and this." I got them all riled up. I got them so riled up that I became governor of Boys State. I was elected governor. I wasn't elected to represent them because I kind of imploded towards the end. It was like a kind of reign of terror. And if I'm honest, it was my first experience with just the dread truth of any type of power. Power sucks. People think power is great, but really power is mostly stupid. Cooperation and getting people to want to do something is one thing. But lording over people like you have power is just ridiculous. Anyways, I don't know why, But the inner sanctum of the outer realm of whatever the fuck controls Boys State decided to invite me back the following year to be one of these Boys State counselors. This is like the summer between high school and going to the University of Washington. And they want me to be a Boys State counselor at Boys State. And I gotta say, like I said, you know, when you're that age, you know what? It's not the fucking Middle Ages. And we were, I think, and I think we may have been the last one, but we were a generation that was shielded from so much shit. Like I've said before, when I was a kid, I could go put the 22 caliber Ruger on my back, go walk down the street to go shoot at the gravel pit, and there wasn't like a person who'd pick up the phone and call the police. It wouldn't have been a terror alert. It wouldn't have been a, you know, Amber alert. It was just Dan going with, you know, his friends down to the gravel pit to go shooting. It was normal. It wasn't strange. So in some ways, it's like I grew up maybe with an experience in some ways, because there are many parts of my childhood that I don't like talking about that, yeah, were not all great. But in many ways, these other experiences, these were rare things, you know. But what the fuck did I know? So I get invited back, and I gotta say, I just enjoyed fucking with people way too much back then. I probably still do. You know, if you read my blog, you probably read it sometimes and wonder what I'm doing. And in some ways, I think I'm experimenting with people because I just do sometimes enjoy fucking with people. But one day, I'm there as this adult counselor, and I'm sort of like, you know, hanging out and, you know, fucking whatever, talking to people, blah, blah, blah. Hey, I'm the adult counselor. And what the fuck? I was like 1 year older than these fucks. What the fuck was I being all adult counselor about? That was bullshit. Anyways, I'm joking with these guys, and it's like I'm totally joking with these guys and saying, you know, wouldn't it be funny if all of you guys got onto the elevator and decided to go up a few floors? Like, you know, just load it up and see what happens. Yeah, that was really horrible. And the thing is, I think if I told them to go down a floor, it would have been very uncomfortable. It probably would have been equally dangerous and equally foolhardy, and the same thing probably would have resulted. But no, it was like my grand scheme for that morning, and it was like Sunday morning. It was the morning that all these kids are supposed to head back home. I think it was the day they're supposed to head back home, and I basically convinced all these guys to get on. And this is Sunday, and this is like Spokane, Washington. Yeah, this is like, I don't know. It could have been July. It probably was August. August of 1988. And so, yes, there was, I think, one person or two people on the elevator had claustrophobia. So you can imagine, you know, these 15 or 16 or 18 boys all on the elevator together. Because keep in mind, I convinced them to go on the elevator and to take this miraculous journey to try to go up a couple floors and exceed the weight limit. I convinced them to do this, but I wasn't like a participant in the experiment. I was more of an observer. So they do this, and I hear the elevator going up. It's going round, round, round. It's making this really terrible noise that no machine should make if it's functioning correctly. And it goes round, round, round. And it looked like it had gone up like a foot or two, and then it was like, cha-ching, you hear this cha-ching, and it was like, okay, what's that? Well, you know, in hindsight, it turns out those are the emergency brakes that lock, and once the elevator is locked like that, it's locked like that, so you have like 15 or 16, you know, 17-year-old boys crammed into an elevator in Spokane, and it's not a cool day, it's a warm day. I wasn't invited back to be a counselor at Boys State. They didn't say, let's invite Dan back. It was like, you know, I don't know. Maybe Dan should just not come back next year. these experiments with people, with kids, these are very worrisome experiments. And I have to say, I didn't really believe anything bad would happen. I kind of suspected it would be a little bit mischievous, but I didn't really think that anything bad would happen. It's just that something bad did happen. So I don't know what the moral of the story is. Maybe there's a reason why, I lived in a wall and under stairs, and why I rode in the trunk of a car to see Night Ranger. I don't know. Maybe I've had this interest or obsession with being put in closed spaces or confined areas. I really don't know. I know that when I was in kindergarten, my mom would reward me for behaving well by giving me plastic guns. And in hindsight, I feel like that was like probably the worst policy ever. And yet somehow that made sense. And I love my mom, so you must know that's just the deal. But I used to like that show SWAT. I'll go, though now I'm so horrified by that idea. I loved that show SWAT growing up, and it was like, hey, they've all got those paramilitary uniforms, and they're helping the cops. And it's like, oh my God, looking back, it's like, Dan, you were being programmed by the NWO, and you didn't even fucking know it. Ugh, so depressing. Anyways, we all get in confined spaces, and probably the best thing you can do is if you end up in a confined space, whether it's, living under, sleeping under some stairs, or living in a wall, or, riding in the trunk of a car to see Night Ranger, or being tricked into an elevator that inadvertently locks, then you end up stuck there for, 3 or 4 hours, and one or two of you are claustrophobic. Just try to focus on the positive aspects of being in that confined space. Like, I don't know, maybe think about like that documentary about Temple Grandin and how she was autistic and how she designed that device that would give her that mechanical hug. Like, maybe what you should think about when you're trapped in that really claustrophobic space is that maybe it's like being given a hug. Maybe the universe is hugging you.